This is a podcast from Minute Media.
And what is going on, Pewter Peeps? Welcome in to the Friday Live version of the Pewter Cast. As you hear Ren and I laughing, I'm Steve Carney.
Buttons.
Yes. Here's the one thing we've learned over the course of our 4 or 5 months that Ren and I have been doing this. Maybe a little longer now. But Ren's not very good with buttons. It's specifically hitting the right button to go through because we did the whole countdown that you just saw on YouTube. By the way, welcome to those on YouTube that are watching this live, like Richard Terraoka. Good morning in L.A. But we got through the entire countdown.
Yes.
And Ren forgot to hit the button to go live on YouTube. So we got I put in the private chat that we use.
That's where I found
live.
Out. I was like, I clicked private chat. What's that? Oh, live. And I look up. And then right when I looked up, the counter stopped. And
here we were.
And there we were.
We were only talking to each other.
All right.
So we had to go through it again. You know what? It doesn't bother me one bit. And hopefully it doesn't bother Ren one bit, and you don't even know about it, other than the fact that we are talking about
full disclosure.
That's right. Full transparency. We are all about being transparent about things here on the PewterCast, your number one spot for Bucks news and analysis, part of the Fansided Network, live on YouTube and thepewtercast.com and on Twitter. And, of course, you can hear us on whatever podcast platform that you are listening to. If you're watching us on YouTube, there's something that is different about our setup here this week. First off, our faces are a little tighter, which is not so bad in some cases. You know, really, you just get the slit for my eyes, and I think that would be the best.
We should
setup
do that. We should do a whole podcast just our eyeballs.
Just our eyeballs.
Just our eyes.
So, but you notice that we have a new sponsor here on the PewterCast. And so I and Ren and I want to welcome in the great folks at BetUS who have decided that we are worthy of being a part of their promotion. So we're very, very excited about that. So we will talk a little bit more about BetUS coming up here in a little bit. We're going to have some lines that we like from the weekend, and of course, some promotions with BetUS coming up, which we're really, really excited about.
Yes, so if you haven't noticed, everyone, gambling is heavy into advertising on sports podcasts. You know, I think I talked about last episode, maybe it was after the Dallas game. Like, the betting lines are now actually on the NFL Network. Like, they're coming full force. Everybody's got a sponsor. BetUS contacted us. We worked out a deal. And if everything goes well, they'll be our title sponsor for the whole entire year. So, very happy to have them aboard. But anyway.
Yes. So welcome to BetUS. We'll talk a little bit more about them coming up here in just a couple of moments. But, Ren, I got to ask you, did you watch, the Thursday night game? Was not a very appetizing one, at least on the surface.
Right.
Giants, Washington. You know, I don't know about you, but I was kind of like, they're two bad teams in a bad division. But still, I found myself sitting at the Rays game last night with
football.
with the Thursday night football game on my tablet. As I'm trying to keep pay attention to two things or three things at once, so I was working watching it. Did you get a chance to watch the Thursday night game?
Yeah, I got home just in time. Sort of when I turned on, it was 7-0 Giants, so I kind of missed their opening drive. But I mean, it was at least it was competitive and entertaining. You know, if the execution on the field wasn't you know, great at times, but you can kind of say that for every game. You know, I thought they were evenly matched, and, you know, there were big plays both sides, but, I mean, freaking Giants, man. I mean, that's just, like, that's just bad football, and, I mean, and I know, because I've watched it for decades. Like, that's 1980s Bucks losing football games. That's a Jameis Winston era Bucks losing football game. I guess I should really say Dirk Cutter Bucks.
Yeah.
You know, losing football games, like, you know, it's like, that's, oh, he missed a field goal. Shiano Bucks. It was a field goal. We win. Oh, you're offsides. You lined up offsides on a field goal. Lined up offsides. And five yards closer.
And it's not like you're on the interior where they can't see you.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence is lined up outside where the head linesman is looking right at him. And he can turn to him and go, am I on the right side of the football? And he'll tell you before the ball snapped, hey, do I need to move up? Can I move up or do I need to move back? And he'll tell you. It's like when a wide receiver on a play, hey, am I on the, you can say to the line judge, hey, am I on the line? I'm supposed to be on the line. Am I on the line? He'll say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, we're good to go.
Yeah. So, and when's the last time you saw a kick blocked from the outside anyway?
It's been a while.
Yeah, you know, it's all interior stuff. Either they kick it too low or there's some penetration interior and a guy gets his hand up. That's the only time he gets blocked anymore.
Yeah. Joe Judge is a special teams coach. He was a special teams coach with the New England Patriots, and his special teams screwed him over.
Yes.
There is all sorts of problems.
So did the refs.
Giantland. No.
And that Daniel Jones run?
Yeah.
Like all the holding, and they ended up like a 4-point swing.
Yeah, it's like, that's not a hold.
It wasn't a hold. You know, I found it funny that, like, no one really cares about that. Like, we are so now programmed and used to bad officiating, changing outcomes of games, we just accept it. Like, okay. You know, like, No one's upset. Like I'm sure Giants fan, the Giants Twitter's blowing up about it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for that, then we would. Well, you know, if he would have scored, then everything, all the play calls would have changed after that, so you don't know if you would have won. It would have helped to have those extra 4 points, sure.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But anyway, I watched it. You know, football's football.
Yeah, and the Giants start 0-2. Washington is 1-1. Taylor Heinicke.
Doing Heinicke stuff.
The legend of Taylor Heinicke continues to grow, which is just unreal. So but week two is here, and so getting the Thursday night game out of the way. I don't know if you've seen this, but one of the first things that they tell you when you if you're looking to wager on lines at a place like BetUS is, if you're looking at the Thursday night game, the almost automatic is to bet the over. So
because they don't play defense,
because there's no defense that's played in those games. I think I saw a tweet last night from a book that said the over hits like 60 or 61% of the time, which if you're wagering on football competitively, you're making money that way. So
sure. It's
like, bet the over every week and you're going to make money over the course of a season, which is what your goal is to be if you're doing this. So
that's your goal. If you bet money is to win.
Yeah.
Okay. Just checking. Thank you for the fortune cookie wisdom.
Thank you. Thank you, Big Dog. I can thank Big Dog for that one. That's a Big Dog-ism. So, but I think the goal is to get above 56 or 57%, because that way you take the, you're making money on top of the juice that you have to pay out to wager. So that's the case. And as Bucks Time 12 is asked on YouTube, wondering why
the talking about the Washington game.
Yes. Well, I'm just but you pointed it out. You pointed it out in the comments. You know,
yeah.
Bucks Time 12 asked about, why did they bring in Ryan Fitzpatrick then? And the answer is, of course, to be the starter, but he's injured.
Yeah, he got injured week one.
So
apparently he's rehabbing. Instead of taking surgery, he's going to try to come back this year.
Yeah, so he's going to miss some significant time, but he's supposed to be the guy.
You know how hairy that guy is, Fitzmagic. Do you think the drapes match the curtains on that guy?
Probably.
Or is that the saying, curtains match the carpet?
No, the curtains carpet matches the drapes.
There you go. Okay, anyway.
It's possible. So, but yeah, I mean, I certainly remember him walking into the post-game press conference wearing DeSean Jackson's jacket and mm-hmm. no shirt. So, mm-hmm. and people are already talking about how we've gone too far with that.
Well, that was a segue.
I know.
That was missed.
I know. I missed the segue.
You missed the segue. So let's try again.
For once, I missed the segue. So let's back up and start again.
So with that guy, do you think the carpet matches the drapes?
Well, I can tell you that if it does, he's probably using Manscaped in order to make sure that everything is right about it. Yes! Yes. I did it. Yes, this portion of the PewterCast is sponsored by Manscaped. And we have talked at length about Manscaped and their brand new lawnmower version 4.0, which now comes with a better ceramic blade, wireless charging, longer battery life, and the LED light to make sure, is that hair or is that a shadow? You will now know with the lawnmower version 4.0. We got you hooked up here on the PewterCast. You can save you a little money if you're looking at the folks from Manscaped. If you want one of those brand new lawnmower version 4.0s, go to manscaped.com, use the promo code FANSIDED20 and get 20% off your first order and free shipping as Manscaped as a proud partner of the PewterCast. Again, manscaped.com, use the promo code FANSIDED20 and get 20% off your order with free shipping thanks to the PewterCast and Manscaped.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, let's roll into the week at the Advent Health Training Center as the Bucks wrapping up the week of practice here today with their walkthrough, and then they will have a meeting on Saturday before the 4:05 start at Raymond James Stadium against the Atlanta Falcons. The first thing that we learned, really, that we learned this week, Ren, mm-hmm. is that BA is making a change at running back.
Is he?
Well, I mean, it seems like he's going. It's back and forth. Now, the last for the Dallas game, he started Leonard Fournette at running back. Mm-hmm. This week, we learned that the guy that's going to be out the gates first is going to be Ronald Jones the second.
I don't even know if that's true, though, because Ronald Jones was listed as the starter last week, and we run out in the field, and so
there's Lenny.
So, I mean, you know, I think it was more of a confidence thing, you know, to show him that they still believe in him and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I don't even really give too much credence that, you know, Rojo's a head case. And now I understand, like, confidence needs to be built back up because of that rookie year, which is, oh my God, it was so terrible. It was very bad. So I get that, but, you know, and I'm not even sure I believe the, you know, Rojo reacted poorly to the fumble and it was too big of a game. I mean, it's week one. I mean, you know, yeah, it's an NFC game, but they're all big. I mean, you can argue the Falcons game is actually bigger because it's a division game. You know, like that's a tiebreaker before, you know, common opponents or NFC opponents. So I don't know. I mean, I'm glad. I hope that, you know, obviously Rojo doesn't fumble, but I hope, you know, he gets the bulk of the carries because, you know, he's just a better runner. Everybody knows it. He just is. He's just a better runner. And I think the offense, you know, hums better, goes better when Rojo gets a chance to carry the ball more than two or three times.
Well, I think the other thing that when Rojo is carrying the ball more often, it kind of gives you I don't want to. I don't want to say more of an opportunity to get the other guy, because when you have Fournette in the backfield,
right?
You know, you're not going to have an opportunity to get Gio into games because Lenny's going to take carries, and you know with everything that's going on. And I really think that if you get Rojo involved, it also will allow you to get Giovanni Bernard involved a little more. That was the one thing from the Dallas game. I think you and I both agreed that we would have liked to have seen a little more of Giovanni Bernard getting involved in the offense. And I think that you're going to get that this week, because I have a feeling, and we'll get into our predictions at the end of the show, but you know, I have a feeling that you're going to see a lot of all three of these running backs, especially late in this game. I think you could see all three of them being big contributors in the second half.
Yeah, I don't mind, like, you know, if the defense dictates it that, you know, you have to check down to Leonard Fournette once, maybe twice a game, or same with Rojo. But when Fournette's getting like five targets, six targets, you know, on screens, and you know, and they're flexing him out wide, like, that's Gio's play. Mm-hmm. Like, that's Gio's snap, you know. Like, at the end of every game, when you count out pass targets, Gio should have a 2-to-1 ratio over both of those guys, or you're just not using your personnel properly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I am.
Yeah, I think, like I said, if things go as expected,
right?
You know, it looks like you're going to see a lot of the running backs late. Like, you could see.
Are you saying a blowout win, and they're trying to run out the clock?
Yeah,
I'm rotating guys.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Are we foreshadowing?
Maybe, but if you get up, say, two or three scores in the second half,
yeah,
you know, you're going to get more conservative, especially if you could show that you can gain significant yardage and you can put together a drive using primarily the ground game, you know, instead of using all the targets out wide. And so say if you can get a 7, 8, 10 play drive that eventually gets you points, it doesn't even need to be a touchdown, but if you can, say, get a 10 play, you know, 55 or 60 yard drive that gets you down into field goal range, and Ryan Succop's getting you another 3 points, it takes a lot of time off the clock. It allows you to rest your defense, and it keeps Matt Ryan and company from being on the field to try and close the gap.
Yeah. Every time, like you said, if they're up a couple of scores, you know, you'd want to see that drive like 70-30 run.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Bucs can kind of, you know, come in this game and get some momentum with the running game, and you know, feel like they can start to run the ball against anybody, which I'm sure they think they can, but you know, they're not really a top 10 rushing team, but if they feel like they can and get some momentum on that side of the ball, it'll be really nice to see coming out of this game.
Yeah, and the other thing that does is it allows guys like O.J. Howard, who we saw once picking somebody up off the field.
Yeah. Hey, look, there's O.J. Howard.
Hey, it's nice to see O.J. Howard in the game for once. But if you could see Gronk and O.J. Howard, because let's face it, Cameron Brate's not blocking anybody. But
he's going to try.
He'll try. He's not going to succeed.
No, probably not.
But O.J. Howard, I think, can. And if you can get O.J. Howard into the game and get him into the rhythm of being in the game, coming back from the Achilles tear, I certainly think that, you know, that certainly will help. You go to the, you run the two tight end and two wide out set and try and run the football as best you can. I think you're going to be in pretty good shape that way. If you have seven guys up front. So that's my thoughts on the offensive side. The defensive side, you know, we talked after the game about Sean Murphy bunting and the question of the elbow.
Still a mystery.
Still a mystery. They have said that it could end up being a season-ending injury, which wouldn't surprise me the way that thing bent. I certainly didn't think that he was going to play again this year. But there are definitely... there are definitely question marks in the defensive backfield, but I think some of them get answered this week for sure. Especially, it was good to see Jordan Whitehead as a as a full participant.
Losing Sean Murphy Bunting, the best possible news as a Bucs fan you could get was the return of Jordan Whitehead. And the reason that that is because now Whitehead can come in and he can sort of play like a traditional strong safety, which there's not a lot of really in the NFL. So he can play down in the box, but he also do a, so he's kind of like a floating nickel. Now, as we know, Jordan Whitehead is best at setting the edge, stopping the run, coming in like a missile. You know, we all remember, of course, his most recent claim to fame was the fumble he caused in the Green Bay game.
Yeah.
Solo tackle out in space. Not only did he get, you know, Adams down, he made him fumble. And of course, who picks up Devin White? Because he picks up every fumble. you know, and the Bucs were off and running in that game. So, getting him back, and but the real importance is now you have flexibility at the slot position, because with Whitehead back and him playing safety, now you can either play Edwards or Winfield in the slot to spell or help or totally take over the slot position from Cockrell, who, you know, was exposed on a couple of plays against Dallas. Now, Dallas's weapons are very good. I think they're even they're better than Atlanta's. It's kind of hard. You look around the league and you look at everyone's receiving core, like everyone's got guys. You know,
yeah.
That's why I think the receiving sort of salaries are going to bust. They're going to turn to running backs here for, you know, for the next sort of like generation of football. And generation's like, you know, 7 to 12 years for me. Like the salaries are going to go fall off a cliff because everybody's got guys and every draft, 5 brand new wide receiver, first round draft picks come out. So the market's just flooded with these guys. So having, say, a team doesn't have guys at you know, at the skill positions on offense, you know, receiving wise is kind of silly.
Yeah.
But I think Dallas is much better. So, Cockrell may be able to hold up against the tight ends that, that Atlanta has. I know they got one of the guys. I think they got Andrews. Didn't they pick up Andrews from the Ravens? They picked up somebody like that. So it might be a challenge. But to circle back, it's if this is what I think the Bucs should do, this is what I would do on defense. I would play Whitehead down in the box. I would put Winfield in slot. And I would play single high safety, which Todd Bowles loves, even though he got away from it after the bye week last year. And that was probably a big reason why we ended up winning the Super Bowl. But Edwards plays side to side, because if you rank these three safeties in ability as, you know, sideline to sideline cover guy, the best guy is Edwards. Right behind him would be Winfield, and then Whitehead's way down the line. But if you do tackling, then you've got Whitehead in front, Winfield's right behind him, and then you got Edwards way down the line.
Yeah.
And then if you've got coverage ability, it's Winfield, and then down the line is Edwards, and then down the line from him is Whitehead. So they each sort of have a role where you can play Winfield, you can kind of use to fill in all the plug in the gaps. He can play strong, he can play free, he can play side in the sideline, he can play slot. But the other two guys, their best traits are set up for being able to lose a corner and, mm-hmm. you know, take away that safety. So, again, very long-winded, but very happy that Whitehead is back this year, or this game, this week, because, like we talked about with the mystery around SMB, it could have been a defensive struggle to cover, you know, not only Atlanta's receivers, but anybody's receivers coming down the road.
Yeah, the one thing that I'll say about, you know, the comparison between Dallas and Atlanta, you know, I think Dallas has more talented receivers,
right?
But Atlanta's going to have a piece that the Bucs have not seen so far this year with Kyle Pitts. I mean, I would think, you know, you've got Calvin Ridley and. And Amari Cooper, very similar, but
sure.
I would have said that, you know, Michael Gallup and the like,
CeeDee Lamb
better than Russell Gage and Zacchaeus.
Yeah, and whoever.
Yes.
Right. You yeah. Know. Yeah. You're right. You're right. But here's what I think. You know, and I wasn't brave enough to put it on Twitter, but I don't even count Pitts as a tight end, because when we talked to D. Orlando from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, like when Atlanta ran the ball early and was having success, he wasn't in the game.
That's true.
And he said he's not going to block anybody because he's 245.
Yeah, like, okay. they're using Hayden Hurst in that.
Right, Hayden Hurst. Okay, yeah, I said Andrews, but Hurst, yeah, yeah. So they got Hayden Hurst there. Okay, well, then when he was on the field, 85% of his snaps were from the slot. So I think that even though his position is tight end, he's more Chris Godwin.
I can.
You know what I mean? He's really a second receiver on the team than he is a tight end.
The big question is then, you know, do you put one of the safeties on him, or do you put Devin White on him?
Or Lavonte David. Yeah.
On him. And because it was always Lavonte David or whoever, or Quan, or, you know, whoever, one of the linebackers.
Quan couldn't cover a turtle.
Well, but to go up against Tony Gonzalez or Jared Cook or Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
You know, that was always the big question, is which linebacker are you going to put up against the tight ends? It wouldn't surprise me to see either Lavonte or Devin White being matched up with Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, to start the game for sure. Because
especially to keep him on the line, you disrupt his timing. He's one of, you know, being a young guy, you could probably disrupt his timing a lot easier with someone like Lavonte or Devin White, as opposed to a safety that he could almost run over as opposed to run by.
Right. And also something that D. Orlando talked about in our last pod titled What the Hell Happened to the Falcons, was that, you know, during the preseason, Matt Ryan and Kyle Pitts didn't get any live bullets together. So this was their first time on the field, week one. Yeah, it was shocking. It was shocking that that ended up being true. But, you know, so like you said, with the disruption, the timing, and they don't have their timing down pat as it is. But then again, you have to kind of go back and look and talk about how the Bucs, like tight ends, you know, historically do good tight ends do very well against the Buccaneers. It was an outstanding job in the Super Bowl that Lavonte David did on Kelsey, whatever, wherever we're calling him now these days.
What we're calling him is the Super Bowl runner-up.
Sure, sure. Travis Super Bowl runner-up. So I would, you know, if it was me, I told you I would bring Winfield down, and I would play single high, and I would put Winfield in the slot, put Whitehead, bring him down in the box. I would put Lavonte David on Pitts and make them make me change that, you know, and also with the single high safety, like make them, you know, try to beat me deep.
Use Edwards as the single high.
Yeah, use Edwards as a single high because he's the ball hawk, and then Carlton Davis, just have him follow Ridley around, clamp him down. So now we're like, okay, so now they're going to throw the ball at Dean and Russell Gage, you know, 30 times. And I'll take that, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, because that's going to be the major matchup here. If Carlton Davis is shadowing Calvin Ridley, and you're going to put Lavonte David on Kyle Pitts, yeah, that means your matchup's going to be Jamel Dean on Russell Gage, and whoever, you know, whether it's Winfield on Zacchaeus. And
do you think Atlanta's going to try to run the ball?
No. Well, first off, I don't think they're going to get the opportunity to run the ball in the second half. You know, you saw what they did against Philadelphia, and that game was 15-6 at halftime. So it technically was a two-score game. But in the second half, Atlanta only ran the ball 4 times for 1 yard.
Yeah.
So I think if it's a two score game going into halftime, I think Atlanta abandons the run altogether. And so you end up playing a lot of floating nickel, you know, and the six defensive back, the dime right. setup. Maybe you play three. You're going to bring Cockrell and have the three safeties in there. So you end up with Levante and Devin White with three down linemen and six DBs at that point.
Yeah, that's how they played nickel last year.
So
they could keep the two linebackers on the field. Like, they took off the defensive lineman instead of the linebacker.
Yeah, so I can certainly see that, and you know, and that's gonna lead to maybe a big day from someone on the defensive line that we'll talk about here in just a little bit. But we do have to get to our brand new sponsor,
yes,
of BetUS, because obviously football season is upon us, mm-hmm. pro and college. Plus, you're going to have the NHL and the NBA starting up here really soon. And that, because of that, you want to wager. You want to have a little excitement in these games. And you're going to need a sports book with integrity and longevity like BetUS. You might already know this. BetUS, though, has been pioneers in the sportsbook industry for almost three decades, thriving and paying their loyal customer base. You go to BetUS.com. They've got loads of bonuses. You can join now. Call 800-69-BETUS. Again, that's 800-69-MYBETUS, 800-69-BETUS. Get a 125% sign-up bonus by using the promo code PEWTERC125. Again, that's Pewter, PEWTERC125. If you go to BetUS.com or call 800-MYBETUS, they also have re-up and referral bonuses as well. And they're known as America's favorite sports book for lots of reasons. They've got all of your NFL games. They've got prop bets galore. They've got NBA and NHL games when they get going. You can bet UFC matches and get props there. Golf, both tournament and round matchups. And they also have live betting on most sports, including golf. They've got an online casino with hundreds of games. Oh, yeah, and their race book, all your horse tracks available
there.
Yes,
the ponies.
That's right. You can bet the ponies with BetUS. They have every bet type imaginable. And the sharp BetUS mobile platform is easy with full betting options. So follow our lead. Get your phone, your online, your social sports betting partner with integrity and longevity like we did. BetUS. You bet, you win, you get paid. BetUS again, 800-MYBETUS, 800-69-BETUS. Use the promo code PEWTERC125 and get 125% as a sign-up bonus.
Okay, guys, here's the deal. Okay, every podcast has some type of betting advertising in there. A lot of them have some type of, hey, you know, sign up with us. Do your betting here. Why wouldn't you? You like money, right? Okay, we get it. Now, a couple of things that make this different. One is 125% is what you get. So you put in $100, they're going to give you $125 to bet with, an extra $125 to bet with. Not just 25. So you put $100, they give you $125. So you'll have $225 to mess around with, okay? But here's the big thing for us. If you want to support the show, there's a Patreon out there. There's not many people that follow it. Like, watching it on YouTube helps, okay? Downloading it, on your pod platform, whichever one you listen to, also helps. This is the best way to help. Okay, if you sign up with $50, which will end up being $125, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it will be $125 because they're going to give you $75. If you bet $50 and use the promo code and start it with $50, you can put as much as you want, but it has to be at least $50. That helps us, and when that helps us, and we get enough of those, then they're going to jump on as a title sponsor for the rest of the year. So if you want to support the show, this is the best way to do it. Because not only, it's not like you're giving money to Patreon. Like, you're giving money, we're going to get money just for you signing up. and you get the extra the 125% bonus, and you could win more money. So I'm going to sort of, you're going to hear this a lot this year when we do this Bet US, because, you know, yes, you like to bet. Yes, there's all these other betting sites. Why go with Bet US? Besides 125%, it's you. That's the best way to help us and help the show.
Absolutely. And in order to do so, PewterC125 is the promo code for BetUS.com. All right, so let's get into some of these lines for that we have this week. Because
kind of real easy. I kind of cheated.
Yeah, I actually, here's the thing. I would like to keep track of what our predictions are, and sure, we'll see who's better at the end of the year. We'll see who wins at the end of the year.
Okay.
So I, how many do you have? Because I have four.
Four. I took three.
Okay.
Because that's what we agreed upon.
Okay. Well, then I'll take.
No. Do all four.
I found four that right. But I will give you my three best. And then
no, give all four. Give all four. Help the people. Help the people.
All right. So I actually want to start with I've got two for the Bucks and the Falcons. I'm going to leave those to last.
Okay.
So I'm going to start with the first one that I like is this is going to be crazy. The New York Jets getting 6 points at home against New England. I really do think that, you know, that's got to be a field goal game in my opinion. I'm not sold on the obviously I'm not sold on the Patriots, but I mean, I thought that the Jets played better than the score indicated in Carolina, and so it wouldn't surprise me. You know, it's going to be their home debut. I certainly think that being in the Meadowlands, going up against a downtrodden.
All right, we got seven of these. Let's not have a novel on every.
So I think six is too many points to get. I think it's probably closer to a field goal, 3-4 points. I probably would have stayed away from it, but at six, I'll take the Jets.
All right. Are we going to alternate?
Yep, we can alternate.
All right, I'm going to possibly cheat here and do my Buccaneers Falcons one, and these are all in the same vein. Like I said, I cheated. I didn't get a real good chance to look at these. I promise you guys, we'll be doing this segment on every show, by the way. Keep this one quick for me. The Falcons are getting 12.5 points. Anytime an NFL team gets double digits, take the underdog, period, end of story. Would I be surprised if the Bucs beat the Falcons by 13 or more? Not really. But it's an NFL game. It's week two. The Falcons have weapons. And our defense hasn't really proven they can stop anybody yet, you know? And we'll see if they can get on track this week. So my bet is take the points in the Falcons because you're getting 12.5.
Yeah, I'm staying away from the point spread there. But I'll get to the Bucks and the Falcons here in just a second. My second pick is the Cincinnati Bengals going to Chicago. Take the money line on that. It is just +110. But I will get the Bengals, especially if Andy Dalton is starting for the Bears. I think the Bengals want to beat him up pretty bad. So Bengals +110 for me as well.
What does that mean?
That means that if you bet 100, you win 110. As opposed to, you bet 100, you win 210.
Okay. As opposed to what, taking Chicago, you bet 100, you lose $130?
No. You have to bet 130 to win 230.
Okay. We're going to have to explain that later. I never understood what the money, like, people be like, the money line bet it. I'm like, whoa, okay, sounds great. And I don't know what it means, but so we're all learning. Again, this is very simple. There is another NFL team getting 10-point-plus spread, and they won last week. The Houston Texans are getting 13 against the Cleveland Browns. Cleveland Browns, a very good team. Houston Texans, not supposed to be a very good team. Tyrod Taylor looked really good. You can't hem him in. He's going to escape. There's going to be some plays that he makes on the field. Not that, again, this, I don't think the Texans are going to win this game, but that's, you know, that 13 points, man. That's a huge spread in NFL games. So, massive. Again, yeah, so I'm taking the Texans, taking the points. There's a theme developing here for Ren this week. So right now I'm taking Atlanta in the points at 13.5, and I'm taking the Texans against the Browns at 13.
Yeah, that's probably a smart bet as well. All right, my two Bucks predictions.
All right.
I am staying as far away from the point spread as possible because I do think the Bucks are going to win. I don't think they're going to cover, but I think that there are two other pieces that you could certainly make some good money on. The first one is the under. I think under 52. This is another 32-6 game. This is a 35-6 game for me. So I think under 52 is probably the way to go there. And okay. I also have Atlanta under 20. Now you have to give a little extra in order to get under 20, but you can get the Falcons under 20. Those are the two for the Bucks and the Falcons for me.
All right, I like both of those. I'd be a little scared on the over, but I think, or but taking the under, I'm always scared to take the under, but I think that's a smarter bet than taking the over, even though I'd be more scared taking the under, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? There's another NFL game that almost never has double-digit spreads. Has a double-digit spread. There's three this week. I'm taking the Detroit Lions. They're getting 11.5 against the Packers. I mean, enough said. We all watched the Packers game. Didn't score a touchdown, couldn't move the ball. Aaron Rodgers was hassled all day long by a Saints defensive line that's missing two of their best players from last year. One suspended, one left in free agency. And then Detroit, who was getting blown up by San Francisco, but then Goff had to throw the ball a bunch, and they came roaring back and only ended up losing by 8 when they were down, like, I think by 20-plus points, maybe even 30-plus points at one point. Or, excuse me, like 25, 26-plus points at one point. So, you know, if Green Bay does Aaron Rodgers things, which we expect him to do in week one, they do it in week two, I think Goff can hang with him and keep Detroit. They've proven against San Francisco, we really don't know what their defense is, but they're supposed to have a good defense. You know, I think if you polled most people who has a better defense, Green Bay or San Francisco, at the beginning of the year, I think you would win 80-85% San Francisco. And Detroit put up 22, something like that. Anyway, they came roaring back. I think it was 41-31. I don't remember. Anyway, the point is the Lions are getting 11.5 against Green Bay Packers who haven't shown up yet. And I think that's the safest bet. That's going to be my lead pipe lock for the week. Is that coined? Can I say that? Has that been what do you call it? Patented by anybody?
Nah, I'm sure it has. but you can take it anyway. We're on a podcast. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. None of this matters. What's funny though is if you think that any of those underdogs are going to win outright.
No.
That's the thing is that, you know, when you're getting that many points, it's almost scary to look at the money line and see what you could be getting.
Lions, two of those three come home. I don't expect to win all three. I think two of the three of those come home.
Yeah. I mean the big thing for me is all three of those lines, I believe, you're taking teams that are on the road. Getting all those points. It's kind of an interesting. Like I love the home dog. Like give me that home dog at plus 6. That's a good one for me.
It is.
I like that one. So those are our lines for the week here on week 2. Thanks to BetUS, we've got your game. So as we wrap up the Friday edition here of the PewterCast, Ren. You know, we talked a little bit about running the football. You asked me, you know, can or will the Falcons run the football? I'm curious, you know, I mean, did the Falcons do the right thing here? Because when we talked to D. Orlando Ledbetter on Wednesday, which by the way, available on YouTube and also on demand on whatever podcast platform you're using. The episode "What the Hell Happened to the Falcons?"
Yeah.
What the hell? You know, is Mike Davis going to be one of these guys that's going to become like the forgotten man on that club?
Mm-hmm.
I certainly.
Oh, that was a question.
Could.
Sorry.
Well, I certainly think he is.
I mean, it's hard to, you know, Cordella Patterson obviously looked better of the two, you know, running the ball. But it's week one. Like, I'm not going to make those kind of predictions. I mean, I understand the question. It's a fair question. It's just I'm not putting a stamp on that. Like I'm taking the over in the Bucks game more before I'm going to say that Mike Davis is going to be the forgotten guy after four quarters of play of an NFL season. So yeah, but yeah, it's this game matches up really well for the Bucks, because what Atlanta wants to do and what appears at their best at right now after 1 week is running the ball. Like, they were very successful against the Eagles with it. The problem is they couldn't punch it in, but they drove the ball down the field the first two times they had it, ended up kicking field goals.
Yeah,
and
29
then,
plays.
And then, you know, by that time, it's like halfway through halftime. No, but yeah, you know, the first quarter's over, and, you know, when you don't have sort of like the roster to keep up with some of these other teams, not that, you know, they should have the roster to keep up with Philly, ball control is a huge thing of it. If they only get, you know, so if you only give Tom Brady the ball 8 times instead of 12, your chances of winning the game go way up. So that's what they were doing. And then you talked about, Tom, you know, at halftime, they really weren't down that much. It was 15-6. But all of a sudden, I guess Dirk Cutter came back and started calling the plays. And they just totally abandoned the run game. So I kind of think they're going to stick to it a little more, at least not abandon it as quickly, even if they are down 2 scores now. If it turns into 3 scores and it's halfway through the third, then yeah. But, you know, if it's within 10 or within 14, like, I still expect Atlanta, the first time they get the ball in the second half, to try to keep the run going, because that's what they do best. But again, what I was saying is it matches up really good with the Bucks, because obviously that's what our defense does best. You know, teams try it. They have a little success, you know, early. Like, they'll get one for 5 yards, and then, like, a guy gets stopped, and they'll get one for 7 yards. Like, oh, this is working. And then halfway through the second quarter, it's like 8 rushes for 12 yards. And you're like, what the hell happened? Like we had 14 yards 5 minutes into the game. Why do we only have 12 now?
Well, and it doesn't help that they get those plays, and then all of a sudden there's a holding penalty that drops them back, or a offensive PI, or an illegal block, that shot them in the foot a couple of times on offense. So
yeah, Atlanta looked very undisciplined as well. Lots of penalties at terrible moments. So it's really never a great time for a penalty, but I mean, like, drive killing penalties. I think D'Orlando said they had back-to-back, like, false starts at one point.
They had back-to-back pick plays.
That was it. Yeah.
Offensive PIs.
Yeah, First and 30. No, first and 40. That was first and 40, if it was on first down. But so,
first and 30.
And then with, Whitehead coming back, their weapons kind of play into the strengths of the defense. Like, we can neutralize, you know, their best receiver because we have Carlton Davis. We can neutralize their quote-unquote, air quotes again, tight end, because we have one of the best coverage linebackers in Levante David in the NFL. So, but then it's a division game, and they do have weapons, and Atlanta scores on us. They were terrible last year, and they were beating us 17-0 at halftime in a game we needed to win. So, you know, we'll see. I don't know. Well, what are you predicting? Like, what do you think's going on?
Well, in the words of the inimitable predictor and philosopher Clubber Lang, when asked about predictions, pain.
Okay, thank you.
So, I really do think that this is going to be.
Can you pick that on BetUS? Pain.
Can you pick pain?
Is that a prop bet?
It should be.
Pain.
I think
plus 110.
I think the prediction should be: will Carney predict pain in this week's predictions on Friday? And that should be minus 140. So Definitely want to put that out there for the folks at BetUS. Want to say shout out to TB Clutch, who is now with us here on YouTube. So shout out to him for joining us live here on YouTube. My prediction is that it's going to be very similar to the Philadelphia game. I think that the Bucks are going to be able to get in front by a couple of scores come halftime. You know, it could be 21-6. It could be 17-3, whatever it is.
Right.
I certainly think that they're going to get out in front by a couple of scores. You're going to see Arthur Smith abandon the run game kind of, you know, in dirt cutter fashion. You get down by two scores coming out of the half, especially if you don't get the second half kickoff. If they take the kickoff to start the game and they're down two scores, you will definitely see Arthur Smith abandon the run game. And this could be feast time for guys like Mike Edwards in the defensive backfield and with Vita Vea up front. You know, that mm-hmm. I thought was maybe the most interesting thing from D. Orlando Ledbetter on Wednesday was his talk about Vita Vea and the Bowtie podcast from D. Orlando is about Vita Vea this year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and it's like, who's going to stop Vita Vea? Who's going to block that guy?
The answer is nobody.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody the Falcons has. That's for
which
sure.
Which army?
Yeah, so I mean, you know, I think and I want to be wrong, and I feel like Tom Brady has proven me wrong enough, but I still feel like there's going to be some hiccups in this offense. I don't think the penalties are all cleaned up. I think it's like 13-7 Bucks at half, and then by the end of the third quarter, the game's well in hand. And then the fourth quarter, like, you know, they sort of like put it away and probably end up winning by more than 13. it's just going to be one of those, like, there's going to be some three and outs, you know, the Bucks, you know, Byron Leftwich, like, he's going to run the ball on first down the first two or three times they get the ball, you know, and you're going to be looking at, you know, second and eight, then, you know, Brady's going to short hop one on an out route, and now it's third and eight, and, you know, O.J. Howard only runs a 7-yard route, and we're punting. Like, it's going to happen. I'm just telling you, that's what's going to happen. So, I think it's close at halftime, and the Bucks just kind of, like, make some adjustments, figure it out, and that ends up being that. But I think that Atlanta's offense looks a lot better than it does. But I also think that the defensive line goes off as far as sacks, if that makes sense. Like, I think Matt Ryan can get sacked five times, but also have three touchdown passes.
Well, and if they go to, you know, the six DB formation late in the game, and they're only rushing three down linemen, and they only got three down linemen, I think it would be real interesting to see the sort of pressure that the Bucs can get on that run using only three down linemen and only having the two linebackers. That could be real interesting.
Yeah, especially in the interior, because, like, Atlanta's, we kind of alluded to a little bit what we're talking about. Atlanta's interior offensive line was god-awful. Well, I shouldn't say that. Their rookie, was it left guard or right guard?
The rookie left guard.
I think I heard another podcast say that he graded at PFF as like a 1.7.
Yeah,
like Jalen a one. Mayfield. Yeah, 1.7. Like, what is, like, how?
That's how, Mr. Yuck.
You know, I mean, that's nearly impossible. Like, if you spell your name right in the SAT, you get like 400. Yeah. You know, it's like. Like, how do you get a 1.7? So anyway, you have some idea how bad it was. So Sue and or Vea, but probably Sue, they're going to eat. I don't think, you know, they're going to have to, Atlanta's going to have to get the ball quickly to their playmakers. We'll see how well the cornerbacks tackle. I just think it's going to be a battle early on, and the Bucks kind of pull away late.
Yeah, I think 35-10. I think that this is, This has all the makings of 35-10, and which is under 52. and it's on and it's under 20 for the Falcons.
There you go. There you go.
2 for 2.
There you go. Smartest guy in the world.
That's right. I would be the smartest guy in the world at that point. So, yeah. What's your prediction? Like,
million to nothing, bazillion to two. I think the Bucks are going to score over 30. I'm going to give them a funky number like 34. And I think it's going to be 34-23.
Okay, that would make me 0-2. So I see how you're going there.
It's just a score, man. It's just a score. But now, I have been a touchdown over lately. So it's probably going to be like a 34-16 game, something like that. But I'm going with 34-23.
Yeah, 34-23 would also make you a winner because you took the
Oh, really?
Oh, smart is Red. That would make Red the smartest man on the planet. But we wish the Buccaneers luck. We'll see what happens here this Sunday again. It is a 4:05 kickoff, and we will be with you after the game.
Yeah,
PeterCast Live, taking your reaction, which is going to be awesome, and we'll get an opportunity to check on just how well we did. Although, Ren did take the Monday night game, so we won't know about Detroit and Green Bay at that time, but we can certainly tell what he got from the first two of his predictions.
I'm one of those guys that likes to pull, even if he's a terrible player, but I'm playing fantasy, but he's playing the Monday night game. I always get that last guy in to try to score. I'm always that guy.
You're that guy. I got my kicker going on Monday night. I can still beat you.
I can make 12 points. I can make up 12 points. No big deal. Easy.
That can be done. It certainly can be done. All right. It's time for us to bounce on out of here as it has been an hour of our time, and it's been an hour of your time. We certainly appreciate you being around here for us. Ren, it's time for the Ren Addiction. Where can people find you?
Best place to find me is on Twitter at the PeterCast. I'm always down to talk Buccaneers football. But if you don't want to put your tweet out there, or Darren, I didn't even say, like, I even mix up darn and damn. I said,
you said Darren.
You said Darren.
Like, what is this, Bewitched?
I knew it. I knew you were going with Bewitched. But that's the only Darren. Is there another Darren?
Darren Waller.
Who's that?
From the tight end for the Raiders.
I didn't mean in the world. I meant like TV.
Oh.
I meant like somebody you could be like, Darren. Anyway, best place to find me is at the PeterCast on Twitter. Feel free to DM me. We can talk Buccaneers football there as well, too.
And if your take is too hot, stay away from my DMs. If your take is
too hot. Don't try to fix my Ren Addiction. It's fluid.
It's a work in progress.
After 5-6 years, it's a work in progress, man.
That's right. Absolutely. You can find me
always tweaking.
I'm a tweaker. That's what I do for a living. You can follow me. Thank you. You can follow me on social media. I am at Steve Carney on Twitter and Instagram. Check out stp9.com. for all of your Rays access as well. And you might even see a guest appearance maybe later next week from one Ren Dirks. Who knows? We'll see what happens. We get Ren on St. Pete 9 as well coming up here in a little bit. Thank you to our sponsors, Manscaped and BetUS, and also to the Fansided Network for being a part of this. Subscribe wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play. Leave us a rating and a review so we can reach as many Bucks fans as possible. Again, PeterC125, BetUS.com. I'll throw that out there again as well. And until Sunday night, Ren, are you ready this time?
I've been ready for a while.
There we go. Go Buck yourself.